Well, Gene said he was going to have a little shorter phone service, so I could quit a few minutes earlier for anybody that wants to go over, so I'll try to do my job. He's not giving me more time, but that's all right. Okay. For tonight, what I would like us to do is turn to our Bibles to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, and beginning with verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come, which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, See thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of them, which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith again, and he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do keep his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and warmongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root, and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that is here say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading. And
What I want to say here in this here portion of Scripture, we're talking about now in heaven, and we're talking about the paradise, yes, that God is prepared, the last paradise. In the first paradise, there were two people. But in this last paradise, how exciting it is that there's going to be many. Now in both paradises, there was a garden, there was a river, and a tree of life. And it's most interesting because it just dawned on me for the first time, and I want you to keep your hands on Revelation 22, but go with me over to Genesis chapter 2, and notice there what it says in verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now after he did that, this is the part that struck me for the first time, that after he did that, then it says in verse 8, and the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So the man was created and then put in the garden or in this paradise which God had prepared for him. There's a contrast here, and we're going to still look at Genesis chapter 2, but there's a contrast because of the fact you see when it comes into the paradise that we're talking about here in Revelation chapter 22, why the Lord has been preparing that for a long time. Oh my, he's gone away to prepare a place for you, and those who come to know him, he's going to put into that paradise. So it's just a little reverse there in order. And of course, I'm sure that most of you know that the paradise in the beginning was lost through the first Adam because of his disobedience to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But here, we find that the paradise has been restored through the last Adam through Christ's obedience. Now, I want you to notice also in Genesis chapter 2, one other thing, and starting in verse 10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good, there is Bedlam, and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same is it, that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Siddiqa, or which we know as Tigris, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. Now it's most interesting as we open up a Revelation chapter 22 that we have a pure river of water of life that flows from the God, from the throne of God and the Lamb, and it goes right through the middle of the street, and on either side of the river grows the tree of life. When you come to the Garden of Eden, there was the one tree as far as I could see, but here we find that there's a tree that's growing on either side. And the interesting thing too is that this tree, as we read, has 12 kinds of fruit. And it's not forbidden. You remember they couldn't go back into the garden to eat of the tree of life lest they would live forever in their sin. But now God is providing for man's every need and for every season of life. Every month there would be a different fruit. Every month that man could eat of that. Many times the question is asked, do we eat in heaven? Of course we do. We're going to be eating of this tree, for one thing. And there's going to be other things too, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and so forth. And notice, as we read there, in verse 2, and the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. And that's a figurative expression that they would enjoy perpetual health, because when we're there in the new paradise, in that new city. Now, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 10, we found that the river divided into four heads. That one head divided into four. And as someone has said, when you think about that river that flowed out of the garden, it reminds us particularly of the Old Testament. Because as you read through the Old Testament, oh yes, Christ is prophesied to be born, to die, and all of that. But we have the stream, it's a one stream going through the Old Testament. But when we come to the New Testament, the Spirit of Truth divides it into four. Now what, of course, is the four? Is the four Gospels that bring out Christ, first of all, as the King, as we find in Matthew, then as the servant in the Gospel of Mark, and then as man in the Gospel of Luke, and as the Son of God in the Gospel of John. And of course, as you read the rest of the New Testament, all of this is expanded throughout the New Testament. So we find that there is that those four rivers, as I read to you there in Genesis chapter 2. Now the river flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb, for the Spirit proceeds from the Father. And that we know, and the Son, as we can read about that in John 15:56. That's, they're all together. Now, the river's waters are the face of the millennial earth, bringing life, fruit, and healing wherever it goes. I think of that psalm in Psalms 46 in verse 4, where it says, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. Yes? Now we find in the beginning of God's ministry, as Christ came on this earth, the beginning of his ministry, we notice over there in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 2, I'll just read it here, it says this, and when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward 100. And so his ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, he was hungry. Yes, there he was in that wilderness for 40 days. And he fasted, and he was hungry. Now, in the end of his ministry, what do we find? What we find in John chapter 19 and verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. So we find in the beginning of his ministry, he hungered. At the end of his ministry, he thirsted. But what we notice here is so that we, when we come into that city, we will never hunger. We will never thirst. Yes, there is those 12 fruits on the tree of life, and there'll be other things as well, because we will be provided for. Now, When you come to Revelation chapter 20, and most of us know the verse of Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, where it says that whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now notice again, we have the book of life in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. And there shall be no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so then now for the third time, what we found here is in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 2, it says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. So we find here that we have the book of life, we have the river of life, which I meant to read from verse 1, that's first, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, water of life. So we have the book of life, we have the river of life, and then as I just read in Revelation 22:2, we have the tree of life. And so we got those three things. And my friends, we need to be in the book of life. And then there is the river of life, and then the tree of life. Now for the first time in my study here, and of course this is a thought from another brother that I picked up in a reading of a book, that the tree of life is characterized by four things in Proverbs. And these compare beautifully with the four things that God has made Christ to us in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Now notice, I want to read that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 1 and verse 30. There's four things. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now if you go to the book of Proverbs, my friends, you're going to find that those four things are in reference to the tree of life. I never saw that before, and I want to share that with you. Notice here, first of all, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse, I think we'll have to start with about verse 13. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that giveth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Here it is, verse 18. She is, now that's speaking of wisdom, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. So we find here in Proverbs that she is the tree of life to them that lay upon her. That's wisdom. Wisdom is personified in Christ in Proverbs chapter 8. And he is the author. Christ is the author both of the Old and the new creations. We could look up verses for that. But let's note the features of wisdom from James chapter 3. James chapter 3, okay? And verse 17. These are the features of this wisdom from the tree of life, okay? The first one in verse 17 is what? So that you're with me tonight again. Pure, right? The second one? Peaceable, right? Or peace. The third one? Have you found it yet? Gentleness, or gentle. And the fourth one? Yeah, easy to be entreated. Yes. And the next one, we find that it's what? Yes, full of mercy and good fruits. That's wisdom. And the next one is without partiality. And the last one? And without hypocrisy. Now, there you see the features of this wisdom. And there's seven of them that we find there in that tree of life. But now let's go back now to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And we'll see another thing about the tree of life. Proverbs chapter 11. And reading from verse 30. What is it? The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth much more than the wicked and the sinner. Yes, it's the fruit of righteousness. It is the tree of life. It certainly was the character of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was righteous. And the scepter of his kingdom is righteousness. He is the righteous king. In the book of Habakkuk, in chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, thou lovest righteousness. And it tells us also, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And that prophecy is mentioned five times in the Word of God, how that he is righteous, and that righteousness will cover, as it were, the earth. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. So the first part that we see about that tree is the tree of wisdom. It's a tree of righteousness, this tree of life. And then also, we find that it's a tree of sanctification. That word's not used, but that's the thought of it in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4, because there we read these words where it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. I just want to say this, that the Lord, he had the tongue of the learned, and not only that, grace poured out of his lips. And people said, never man spake like this man. And so we find the fourth one now in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. sword maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And there again, we find here that the heart is sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And what do we do? We're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And so we're looking forward to it. The heart was sick, but we've been redeemed. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. So it's most interesting to see that there's a 12 manner of fruits, and they yield their fruit every month. And again, what I think is so precious about that our God is a God of variety. We read in verse 14 of chapter 22 of Revelation, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Now, when we come into this here place, it's interesting to notice that there's seven things missing in this eternal state. Seven things are missing. Notice the first one, that there is no what? In verse 1 of 21. Chapter 21 and verse 1. What is there nothing of? No sea. I don't know how that grabs you, my friends, but I think that is a tremendous, precious thing, is to know that when we get there, there is going to be no sea. The reason I think that is so great is because he has cast our sins into the depths of the sea, and there's no fishing from the sea. You know, there's lots of people who don't really take it in that when the Lord says he forgives you, he means it. When you confess your sins, God is willing to forgive you. Jeremiah 31:34. I like that verse. Jeremiah 31:34. And it says this. "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more." And Micah chapter 7, that I already alluded to, our sins are cast into the depths of the sea. And then you know Psalms 103 and verse 12, where it says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us." So there is no more sea. And then in verse 20, chapter 21 and verse 4, let me read that. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." So, we have those five things that there'll be no more. But when we get to chapter 22 and verse 3, we read, "And there'll be no more curse." There'll be no more curse. And the seventh thing in verse 5 is that there will be no night there. Now that's a little difficult to understand, but I thought of that verse also, and I looked that up in Psalms 139 in verse 12, and I think this is a good thought on that, Psalms 139 in verse 12 where it says this, "Yea, darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." That's a very interesting thought. So even the darkness and the light, they're both alike to him. And for us, we will be like him, so we can claim the same thing. Okay, so there'll be no night. Now very quickly, because I want to end within the next minute here, that we have the things that will not be there. But notice what shall be there. Seven shalls. Seven things that will not be there, but seven things that shall be there. And this is the what we have. Notice in chapter 22, in verse 3, "And there shall be no more curse." And that's perfect environment. Sinlessness. There shall be no more sin. And then we find the other thing in that verse. "But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it." Now that, my friends, is perfect government. What a day that's going to be. We certainly haven't seen it in our lifetime. But here we're going to have perfect government shall be there. Notice the third thing. "His servant shall serve him." We're going to have perfect activity. There's going to be something for us to do. Just like Adam and Eve, they had a responsibility when they were in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. We're going to have some activity too. But it will all be joyous with God has planned for us. And it says there as we continue to read through verse 4, and they shall see his face. We're going to have perfect communion with him. And his name shall be in their foreheads. There's going to be perfect resemblance. And there shall be no night there. It's going to be a perfect day. Yes. And they shall reign forever and ever. Perfect rule and glory. Now I'm going to end right at a quarter to, because that's what was requested, and so it will give you time if you wanted to go over to the funeral parlor. But this is an exciting chapter. We didn't get very far in it, but that's alright. That's an exciting chapter of the things that we find shall be there. And I just trust that each and every one of us will know what it is to be able to be there and reign with him. We're just going to close in a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask Larry if he'll do that. Larry Palmer.